Blog Talk Radio.
Hey guys, what's going on? This is Al. I appreciate you guys listening in. You know, today is the Power to Believe Book Club, and got a special treat for you guys. You know, have you guys ever been in a situation where you tried to do something to change your life, and you started on it for a few days, you know, a week, maybe 2 weeks, and then you went right back to your old habit? So, you know, stay tuned. You know, at the end of the show, you guys listen through the whole show, you know, we'll show you guys a strategy on how to, you know, how to create habits in your life that benefits you. Because today the book club book is on the power of, what's the name of the book? The Power of Habit, right?
That's right, The Power of Habit.
Yeah, The Power of Habit. So, you know, we got a good guest on today. You know, his name is Dexter, and he's a real estate investor, successful real estate investor. He's an author, and he's a speaker as well. He just got through speaking to how many people you had when you speaking to on that video? I think you had about I couldn't see the whole video, but I know it was an audience of people you were speaking to recently.
Yeah, it's about a thousand people.
Yeah, yeah. So there's a lot of people in there. So yeah, man. You know, we're just introducing Dexter on the call. You know, he is going to be sponsoring the call, talking about the book and the Power of Habit, and you know, he can share his story with you guys a little bit, and then get into the book details so you guys can see if it's something that you should purchase. So yeah, you can take it away, D.
All right. Hey, you know, thanks for that, Anthony. I mean, you know, it's a great honor to be on your radio show. Like you said, I'm a successful real estate investor,
yeah,
speaker, and, of course, entrepreneur. And, you know, I've had a lot of things in my life that, you know, I've always wanted to do. And, you know, I really just set a goal, went for it, and achieved it. Of course, you know, in my own book, you know, All In, Creating Success from Within, I talk about the success. And, of course, the definition of success, some people say it's different. It's different for different people. But
hello? Uh-oh. Looks like we lost him. All right, he's calling back in. Hey, what's going on, man? We lost you.
Oh, it's no problem. Was I clear, man? Can y'all still?
Yeah. Yeah, you clear.
Okay, cool. I don't know where you guys lost me at, but you know, I think I was talking about the definitions of success, and you know, people say the definition of success is different for different people, but you know, I have a definition that fits all people. The definition of success is having a goal. Don't have to be worthy or lofty. It just need to be a goal. Having a goal and accomplishing it. I mean, plain and simple. That's the definition of success. You accomplish a goal, you have achieved success. No matter how small or big, you know, success doesn't, you know, report to any master. It's success. And, of course, this book by Charles Duhigg is called The Power of Habit, Why We Do What We Do in Life and Business. Let me say that again. Can you hear me, Anthony?
Absolutely.
Great. It's The Power of Habit, Why We Do What We Do in Life and Business. It's by Charles Duhigg. Of course, in this book, you know, Charles Duhigg, he takes us on a thrilling edge of scientific discovery. All right. And some people say, you know, that's book stuff, you book smart, blah, blah, blah. But I'm telling you, I mean, this is a very powerful book. And the scientific discoveries talk about why habits exist and how they can be changed. He talks about distilling the vast amount of information into engrossing narratives that take us through Procter & Gamble, the NFL with Tony Dungy, and of course, the Civil Rights Movement. At its core, you know, the power of habit, it contains an exhilarating argument. It says that the key to exercising regularly, losing weight, being more productive, and achieving success is understanding how habits work. Okay? Let me say that again. Look, the key to exercising regularly, losing weight, being more productive, and achieving success is understanding how habits work. And much more. Much more. And, of course, like you said, you know, we want to let the listeners in on some things that they can do that can help them change their habits. I'm telling you, I only read books that are life-changing. And how can I tell if they're life-changing? I mean, I read through them a little bit and, you know, I say, let's see how this book goes. I try it out. I don't just read the book and put it on the shelf. I use what the book talks about, and I say, does this do anything for me? I know you guys talked about The Millionaire Mentor. That book made me several thousands of dollars. I know you guys talked about some other books, Think and Grow Rich. That book made me some good money as well. But, you know, understanding how habits work can open closed doors, enhance your lifestyle, even save your life. And some people don't understand that habits, just like the book talks about, habits come to us in such a way that we don't even know some habits are things that we're doing. You know, some people say, oh, yeah, I got a bad habit. I smoke a lot. Or, yeah, I got a bad habit. I might drink every now and then.
Yes, indeed.
It's those habits that we don't know that could really kill us. It's those habits that we don't know that could actually really take us to the next level. Only knew that all we had to do was either add this habit to our life or take this habit away from our life. Let me talk to you guys about the Procter & Gamble story. It was a phenomenal story. So there was this guy, he had his doctorate, and he was put into a certain department at Procter & Gamble with some scientists and some testers, and his whole goal was to find out how to get this little chemical selling. It was a new chemical that they were trying to figure out how to sell. They couldn't get it off the shelf. They tried giving this stuff away. They gave it to thousands of people. It was just a little odorless liquid that if you, like, poured a drop out or maybe sprayed in the air, it basically ionized smells in the air. It got rid of smells. Scientifically, it got rid of any smell that was in the air. They tried everything, and they couldn't find out why people didn't want this stuff. People just didn't even want to touch it on the shelves. So they gave this stuff, they did a test. They gave this stuff to a woman who was a park ranger. And they went out there to do this field test and meet this woman.
Right.
They said, you know, we got this liquid. It's a spray. You just, you know, spray it, and it ionizes smells in the air, which makes which takes odors away completely. And she said, oh, that sounds nice, because she was a park ranger. She dealt with animals all day. Sometimes she would come home smelling like skunks or whatever was outside, whatever was in the dumpster, and find herself a boyfriend, which was she couldn't get one. I mean, she was like, you know, nobody wants to, you know, go out with a pretty looking girl who smells like trash, skunk, or whatever is out in the woods. And so, you know, she took it home, and, you know, she sprayed it, and she loved it. It took away all her smells. They said, great, now we've finally found out, you know, what we can do. We can say, look, we even put this on this woman. She thanks to high heaven, she got all these smells, and she agrees that it took away all the smells. They went, they put it out on the market, and nothing. They didn't get anything. People still didn't want to buy these things off the shelves. So they had to do more group studies. They did these group studies, and they went to see why, you know, stay-at-home moms and stay-at-home wives were not buying these things in the droves. Because, I mean, stay-at-home moms and wives, what do? Clean up. They want their homes to smell good, right?
Yeah, yep.
They gave them this stuff. They gave the stay-at-home moms and wives this stuff. The stay-at-home moms and wives, they videotaped these stay-at-home moms and wives. They gave them the surveys. And then they said, we don't get it. They say they like it, but they don't want to buy it. And so they watched them. They watched the stay-at-home mom's cleaning process. And, of course, at the end of the cleaning process, it wasn't spraying the spray that made the moms want the spray, right? The women sprayed the spray. They found something very odd. Each woman just let out a sigh of relief, like, oh, that was it, you know? And they said, well, wait a minute, stop right there. It wasn't the spray, it was a sigh of relief. This is where the habit loop comes in. And the power of habit talks about this habit loop. The habit loop is a three-step process of habits. All habits go through this three-step process, okay? Step one, you have a cue. It's called a cue. And a cue can be anything from a song, from a word, from a saying. It could be anything. For instance, if somebody heard, I'm loving it, what do you think about? You probably think about McDonald's. That's right. It's cue. That is the cue. Well, once the cue happens, there's a routine. As a matter of fact, they talk about McDonald's. And do you know, when you go to McDonald's, McDonald's makes the food where the fries, everybody gets fries. I mean, everybody gets fries with most of their meals. Or most people get fries with all of their meals. They ask at the end of the order, would you like fries with that? This has all been choreographed so that you can have the habit of getting the fries. But let me tell you that the fries have been created in such a way that they dissolve as soon as they hit your tongue. Okay?
Oh.
And this, yeah. See, that's the routine. I'm loving it. Okay, let me get in the car and go get some McDonald's. Or you're driving down the street and you see the McDonald's arches. Well, you're going to pull over. This is the routine. And go get in the fast lane or go inside of the restaurant. So here's the third part of the habit loop. It's three parts to the habit loop, okay, which is not the three things that I'm telling you guys later this call, but this is the third part of the habit loop. The third part of the habit loop is the reward. All habits go through this habit loop. Every habit you ever had goes through this habit loop. And once that McDonald's fry dissolves on your tongue, it's instant satisfaction or reward, okay? McDonald's has conditioned you to want McDonald's. McDonald's has conditioned you to eat at McDonald's. McDonald's has conditioned you to get those fries with your drink.
So the first one was cue, right? And what was the second one?
The second one was the routine.
Oh, routine. Cue, routine, and then reward. So CRR, okay.
Yeah, CRR, you know, cue. So you get the cue, which is anything. I'm talking about, you know, if any of you guys are ever hear about, what do they call it? It's a book called The Game. And, pickup artists. You guys ever hear about pickup artists? Oh, man. They talk about this. NLP talks about this. That's neuro-linguistic psychology.
Yeah, I know about
But, it's, they don't say it as simply. this book really boils everything down. You don't need a 5,000-page Tony Robbins book, even though I read that. You need to read all of the volumes and volumes of work by our neuro-linguistic psychologist. All you need to know is that there are three things to forming a habit, and that's the cue, the routine, and the reward. So what they found with these women who sprayed this odorless liquid in the air was that at the end, just having a clean house was great, but the spray was the finishing touches, and the spray was the reward. They said, wow, we got it. So we need to reposition this not as something that gets rid of the crap that you already got in your house or to get rid of the smells, because 9 times out of 10, you don't even care what your smells are in your house. You don't even smell it. You're used to it. No, we needed to position this in where it was a reward. The stuff, this odorless liquid is a reward. And then, of course, we got to put some odor to it. It's a fake odor. It doesn't matter the odor of the liquid. It's because the liquid actually does ionize the air to make there be absolutely no smell. I had no idea of this either. Well, do you know, once they found that out, everybody got their pay rate. Look, everybody was on a chopping block. They was about to get fired. If they couldn't find out how to sell this stuff, they was getting fired, and they had to move on, basically. Right. Well, everybody got their pay raises. The doctor or the professor who was put in charge of this department got his raise and his promotion, and they moved on. Today, that odorless liquid that is scientifically proven to eliminate all odors, Febreze, is one of the highest selling sprays in America and the world. Look, this is just one of the stories of the power of habit. It's a fantastic book, and a life changing thing about it is that, you know, you can go through life, and let me tell you something, guys, you know, and girls. It might be like, you might feel like maybe it's common sense, but I got to tell you, all sense is not common. All sense is common. So, and these are scientifically proven things. I mean, this is not just like we just saying something out of thin air. It might be true. No, we know this stuff is true. And coming across this book, The Power of Habit, it really opens your eyes to seeing, wow, I could have been walking my entire life in ignorance, not knowing that there are marketing companies playing games with how I do things where I don't even know I'm doing a certain thing for a certain reason that I never even thought about.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. Based on the book, did it say how long it takes to create a habit? Like, I know studies have shown it's been 30 days, but actually after watching a guy that I follow, one of my mentors, he said now it takes 66 days to create a habit. Like, he says that's the latest research. So did the guy in the book, did he talk about anything about how long it takes to actually create the habit? Or did he mention on that in the book at all?
It takes to create a habit. He actually does talk about how long it takes to create a habit. However, he also talks about how you can cut that time not only in half, but you can cut that time astronomically. You know, it was a great movie, a great show I watched. It was called The Wire on HBO. It doesn't come on anymore. But they said something about going to prison, right? They said, well, you only spend 2 days in prison, the day you go in and the day you get out. I thought about that in a more positive light, you know, on a more successful path. Like, it only takes you 2 days to be successful, the day you decide to be successful and the day you're successful. And basically, on changing a habit, the same applies. The day you decide to make the change and the day you change. How many days does it take to build a habit? They talk about building habits. They talk about breaking habits, okay? So another story they talk about is Alcoholics Anonymous, right? And they talk about how AA doesn't have any scientific basing, period. There's no scientific evidence that shows that anything they talk about in AA works. However, they talk about AA and that, they talk about that, the fact that AA does work. Alcoholics Anonymous does work. It does work, but there's no scientific reasoning to why it works, right?
Right.
So science, we're like going crazy. How does AA work and all of the things that it's based on don't work? I mean,
okay.
It's not scientific basing.
So,
well, people,
uh-huh.
Go ahead.
Nah, I mean, I was going to ask you to give the listeners an example of how they can change a habit. So let's just say based on the book and what you read, let's say somebody's habit is smoking. And you said it's cue, routine, and reward. So what would somebody have to do if they're in the habit of smoking and they want to stop? So they need to go through get the cue, routine, and the reward to stop the smoking habit or any habit that somebody's dealing with. So what would you say, based on the book and the way he outlined it, what would a smoker who wants to change the habit of smoking to non-smoking, like what would they have to do based on these three things with the cue, the reward, I mean the position, the routine, and then the reward? Like what would you say they have to do?
Okay, so what they say about this, and, you know, I know it works. I was telling you about Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm going to cut that story all the way short and let you know that they found out that it can take as little as one day to quit. Okay? This means you can form a new habit in one day. All right? Cue, routine, reward. So now that you know that the habit loop includes a cue, a routine, a reward, in order to change that habit, you have to change one of the three. You got to change the cue, you got to change the routine, or you got to change the reward.
So
okay?
They basically got to replace the smoking habit with some other habit. Is that what it is? Or
they can replace the smoking habit with some other habit. Okay? It depends on which part of the habit loop smoking falls. All right?
Oh,
so you would probably think that smoking falls in the reward part, but it actually falls in the habit part, okay?
Yeah.
Studies have shown, I read this book, I had to back up and go look at some real studies outside of this book, and I also looked at the ones that were cited in this book. But the studies have shown that people can quit smoking. Smoking is the routine. Some people say, oh, man, I'm feeling anxious. I got to go get a smoke. I got to go outside and smoke. Smoking is
right.
Routine.
Right.
The hit that you get from the nicotine of the smoke is
yeah.
The reward. So now you got a routine and you got a reward, okay? But if you change one or the other, now some people can go and they take, you know, they've been doing the new e-cigarettes without the nicotine rush. Well, of course, they can go and say, oh, man, I'm getting a little anxious, and just take the e-cigarette. They've changed the routine. And then once they're done with the e-cigarette, they just like, wow, that felt good. Maybe they went and talked to somebody or, you know, had a conversation or watched TV. They changed the reward. Okay? So they changed the routine and they changed the reward.
Okay.
Of course, put something in your mouth. You know, you still put that thing in your mouth, but you didn't get that nicotine hit, you know, and you didn't get all of those bad carcinogens from the cigarettes that are harmful to you. Of course, there's other things you can do by changing the routine. You can, instead of getting something to smoke, go get a Starbucks. You can go get some coffee. You can go just have a conversation just by changing that routine. Man, I got to go get the smoke. Okay, but you have... But knowing the habit loop, you have to be able to identify when the routine starts. Okay, now I'm smoking. Why am I smoking? what happened before I started smoking. Because I'm going to tell you, 9 times out of 10, there's going to be just a few things that happen before you start smoking. Either you were around that one friend that you always like to be around and y'all always smoke together, or you was, you know, watching that one show that you always smoke with, or you just had that one feeling, the cue, that always comes right before you start smoking, all right? Or you had that argument right before you start smoking, you know. If you wanted to change that habit, it can change in one day. But you got to identify what your cue is. You got to identify what the routine is. And then you got to identify the reward. And you have to change one of them, two of them. You can try to change all three, but I'm telling you, it's probably be very difficult. But in order to get that thing changed, you got to change one of these.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, man. Well, I appreciate that overall explanation of the book, you know, The Power of Habit. You know, as far as my twist on it, you know, I think the book is important because, you know, we can write down a goal, we can visualize it, we can speak it into existence and all that good stuff, and that's a good thrust, you know, on a rocket going up into outer space. But, you know, once you start hitting resistance, you know, life comes in and, you know, people start telling you can't do this, you can't do that, or you start having negative thoughts, things not your way. You know, if you don't have the habit of a successful person to continue to push through that resistance, then, you know, you're not going to achieve the goal no matter how clear it is in your mind. So that's why I really think that this book is powerful, you know, talking about the power of habit, because, you know, we need to create the habits of the people that we want to be, you know, the habits of thought, you know, the habits of action. And, you know, so the thoughts of having an action, you know, the thoughts, that the habits of the successful people, you know, the way they think, we need to embody those and the things that they do. And if we do it over and over and over again, it becomes a habit. And, you know, so that's why I think it's important. This book is important as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, man. So I appreciate you sharing that. I think I'm going to go pick the book up. I thought I had it, but I think it was another book on habit that I had. But, you know.
Yeah, it's the Power of Habit, Why We Do What We Do in Life and Business by Charles Duhigg. It's a New York Times bestseller. Matter of fact, you know, before I leave you, man, I just wanted to fill you guys in on the final thing that changes your habit. I mean, transforms your life. It's called Keystone Habits. The book talks about keystone habits. These are little changes in your life that actually snowball into big changes. How much time I got? Oh, 90 seconds. Look. These keystone habits snowball into, like, astronomical habits. You want more money in your pocket. You want better success. You want this or that. I'm going to tell you. If you just write it down, if you just journal what you're doing and look at it and see where your money's going, or if you're accomplishing,
okay,
you can have and do anything you want to do if you will pay the price.
But yeah, man, I'm definitely gonna check that out. I'm gonna Google that Keystone Habits. I never heard of that one. So, but yeah, man, I appreciate you chiming in. You know. This is Al, the Power to Believe Book Club. I appreciate you guys tuning in. Only 2 people dropped off the call, so we still got, you know, over 24 people on. But I appreciate you guys listening. And you guys can go to Amazon and pick up the book. But, you know, just listen to the book club. The whole point is for you guys to be able to read a book a week. And there's systems around that where you can, you know, get the gist of a book without reading the whole thing. So this is Al. I appreciate you chiming in, Dexter, you know, and you guys enjoy the rest of your Wednesday. And this is Al, hashtag Al Weekly, signing out. Appreciate you guys. I love all y'all. All right.
Thanks a lot, Al.
All right.
Thank you. God, look, too many crabs in the fucking little truck.
Fuck it. Gotta love it.
Thank you.